Happy Sunday to you, boys and girls, and welcome to this edition of Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, I say thanks for tuning in here, boys and girls. On a Sunday, late Sunday, a little bit almost to 9 o'clock here, we'll give it to you with the one and the fun, and hopefully you get something out this particular program that I'm doing here. So let's start off with today's hors d'oeuvres. The biggest thing that everyone has hyped themselves with and got themselves together is the Detroit Lions. Boy, oh boy, it was a very loud, overpacked crowd in Ford Field today as I witnessed a very, very, very crowd, big crowd, that they passed out Dan Campbell bobbleheads. Yes, I do have a bobblehead. I don't know if I'm going to give it away or what, but yes. However, in this particular here, a lot of hype for the Lions to do better than what it may be. And the nutshell is not right. Eagles win by a score of 38-35. Yes, Detroit did their all, but didn't do enough. Let me get to the Detroit scoring program. In the first quarter, Jamal Williams scored on a one-yard run to give Detroit Lions a 7-0 lead with 10:18 left in the quarter. Kick is good. Second quarter, DeAndre Swift ran for a 7-yard touchdown to cut the score from 21-14. That's when Philadelphia went on the nut and scored 24 points in the second quarter, boys and girls. And you can't get with that. In the third quarter, the Lions tried to get back here. Wide receiver Amon Ross St. Brown caught a 4-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff with 4:09 remaining in the quarter to cut the lead from 31-21. Seaver caused the extra point. Fourth quarter, Jamal Williams rushed for 1-yard touchdown to make the score 38-28 with 12:16 left to play. Kick is good. Fourth quarter, DJ Chark called a 22-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Jeffrey Goff to make the score 38-35. Detroit trailing with 3:51 to go in the game. No timeouts for Detroit. Nothing left to cherish. Philadelphia ran out the clock. And there you have it, boys and girls. Let me get the good stuff here before I go to the bad, okay? Because I know you want to know it. I look at things, too. DeAndre Swift, a record 15 rushes, for 144 yards. That's a 9.6 average and a touchdown. He added 3 receptions with catching for 31 yards, okay? That's a 10.3 average. He produced from scrimmage over 175 yards from scrimmage for the day. That's a good day's work. Jeff Okuda, he recorded 10 tackles, 7 solos, 1 pass defense of the day there. Of course, a lot of pressure was on him in how he dealt with things. And I saw a lot of aggressiveness from Okuda as he would line up and bop somebody in the mouth before they got off the line. He made it very difficult for anybody to come out there and after him. Although, yes, some passes were caught against him. And that's I won't leave it out, A.J. Brown was a killer on the other side for the Philadelphia Eagles, 155 yards that day. And he picked on everybody. But Okuda was very aggressive, and I like that. Tracy Walker led Detroit with 11 tackles, 8 solo. He had 1 sack and 1 pass defense. However, he got his behind kicked out the game. And how can you help your team or influence them in any kind of way when you get kicked out the game? Bottom line in this particular game here, Detroit's defense did not show up in the first half at all. This is a quarterback, Mr. Hurts, who has a very big reputation in running. So I don't know if football has grown up to the point where you just don't give a good cahoots about the quarterback and running. Allow him to get what he want to get, when he want to get it. But you got to have somebody shadowing the quarterback and make things very difficult with him. And when you do make difficulty with him, be able to tackle him, rough him up, let him know, I'm here and I'll be looking at you all day long. Detroit did not do that. Defensive line did not do that. And in certain cases in that first half, I will blame also the cornerbacks and the safeties did not do that. They had a very good hold on the people they're supposed to take care of. But again, the obvious thing, if you know about this particular quarterback, you got to shadow the guy. Something's got to happen because you know he's going to get loose. He's going to take advantage of him, and he did. The first half, he had 64 yards. In them 24 points they scored in the second quarter. That can't happen. Detroit, once again in the second half, scored more than Philadelphia did. They scored 21 points, but they're three short. Oh, and by the way, Jeff Goff throws an interception that goes for a touchdown. And I won't mention on offense how many passes were dropped. Hockenson, St. Brown, dropped them. DJ Chalk called a touchdown pass, but he too dropped some passes. And the dropsies were very frequent in the first half. Not so much in the second, but in the first half, the Lions receivers were not on point, and neither was Jeff Goff. After that first series of downs when they went down the run, down the road a piece and scored a touchdown. I think, personally, Mr. Swift could have had more yards than that if you choked him and allowed him to run. Give him the ball 20 times. 15 rushes. You cannot televise your game of passing every doggone 5 minutes when you have good runners back there and a good line to push him. Penei Sewell played a great game. I mean that. And some of the offensive line. And then, yes, there were some mistakes. The center throwing the ball away. Never seen that before, but everything happened. And again, Tracy Walker, captain, traded for him. He gets kicked out the game. You can't do your team any good, again, in the locker room. So all in all, this game was a nice little memorable game, but the game is not a win. Detroit need to win at home in order to get the respect of their fans. They should not have walked out of there. If you flip the script, the interception was the big play. That was 7 points. Other than that, Detroit outscores them. Think about it. Mistakes cost you. And this team has to grow up now, which I hope they did last year, in order to have a better year and do the things they need to do. Not drop passes. Get out there and be physical on defense. Cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers. Front line. They didn't do that for 4 quarters. They did it for the third and the fourth, and the beginning of the game. And I'm speaking the beginning of the game with the offense. The defense just was lousy. So there you have it, boys and girls. I will get off my soapbox now. The Lions will be playing Washington next week. That should be a win if they learned anything from what they did wrong and make it right this upcoming week in practice. I say no more. Victor Reyes last night, he got 3 runs, and Detroit beat Kansas City 8-4. The day before, they beat the crap out of Kansas City. However, today, boys and girls, it was a different situation. On this Sunday, Detroit tied a franchise modern-day record by being shut out for the 20th time this season in a 4-0 loss against the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. I think, yes, the Tigers will be home starting tomorrow. Let's see how many people show up. Detroit Tigers also, starting pitcher Edwin Jackson, who used to be on this team, who did pretty doggone well. They grind the crap out of the man. I know that much for sure here. But he did his all for his career. He played with Kansas City Royals along with the Detroit Tigers. Jackson said 14 teams would be it. He had 14 teams he played for. He was a well-traveled pitcher. He spent 17 years in the majors. He announced his retirement this past Friday on his 39th birthday and his 19th anniversary of the big league debut. Jackson played a record again for 14 clubs, most recently in 2019 with Toronto, and then, yes, he came back to Detroit. I wish him well because he was a very reachable and a very nice individual when I got to see him in those locker rooms and those interviews and whatnot. Very cooperative, very nice. I wish him well in his endeavors. Speaking of endeavors, Michigan State played football yesterday. Yes, they rushed for 6 touchdowns, and they zipped right past Akron by a score of 52-0 in a blowout. And that was a very long game, by the way. Michigan State won. All those commercials. Michigan State, Michigan, on the other hand, had an hour delay in their game from rain and stuff there. But, however, they beat Hawaii in a wipeout Saturday night as the game lasted about 5 hours or more here. I got up at 1 o'clock. The game was still going on. Hey, 2-0, both teams. Whoopie-doo. The WNBA playoffs is getting to the finals. The Aces advance to the finals along with the Suns. So, hey, it's time to play. A.J. Wilson team, the number one seed Las Vegas Aces, they pushed their team, she pushed her team to a 67-64 win over the number 3 ranked team in the WNBA, the Connecticut Sun, in game 1 of the finals in front of a record crowd of 10,135 people in Michelob's Ultra Arena in Las Vegas. That's several arenas. Normally, they're always T-Mobile Arena is the big arena. That's the big bad boogie bear in Las Vegas for a whole lot of stuff. Other than the stadium that the Oakland Raiders, I would say the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders play in, which is a comfortable 70,000 people can get in the joint there, standing up. But, hey, that's a good turnout for game 2 is 9 o'clock on Tuesday in Las Vegas, of course, if you want to see it. I'll be watching until I go to sleep. Now, due to the death of Queen Elizabeth, the ununified fight between bitter rivals Clarissa Shields and also Savannah Marshall for the undisputed female middleweight title was and has been rescheduled for Saturday, October the 15th, at the O2 Arena in London. The original schedule took place on the 10th, which was yesterday. However, with the Queen's death and all, Marshall and Shields was the big bad boogie bear fighting this particular there. Everything has been pushed back as per a lot of things, such as the Premier League and some other things being pushed back due to the Queen's unfortunate death and her son Charles is in charge. Major League Baseball announced that Miguel Cabrera was named the Detroit Tigers 2022 nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award presented by Capital One, baseball's most prestigious individual honor for Major League Baseball, major leaguers there. The Roberto Clemente Award was presented by Capital One and is annually recognized of the Major League Baseball player who represents their game of baseball through extraordinary character, community involvement, philanthropism, and also a positive contribution both on the field and off the field there. So he's with 32 others or 30 others or 31 others that got that distinction. At the end of the year, we will find out who is the winner of that award. The two most iconic teams in Red Wings history, the 1997 group that won the Stanley Cup for the first time in 42 years, and the 1998 team that went back-to-back, they'll be welcomed back to Detroit for the 25th anniversary celebration on November the 3rd and November the 5th of this year. Former players, coaches, front office executives from 1997 and 98 championship team will be in attendance for the pregame ceremonies, and the Stanley Cup will also be available for photo opportunities, commemorative items celebrating this accomplishment for both of those particular teams will be available for the fans to view and remember, okay? Executive celebrations and replicas of the Stanley Cup championship merchandise will also be sold in the team store. So boy, oh boy, you have something to look forward to on that particular day here. I have nothing else to say here. I think I had a full day and then some here. I'm glad to give you this podcast here to the best of my knowledge. Hopefully I gave you everything. There's a lot of games going on in the National Football League this evening. I saw a couple of them because all my time was wasted. I mean, not dealt with at the Detroit Lions game this afternoon, which was not a bad game, but again, when you see the mistakes, and that's what I get paid to do, is look at everything good, bad, and ugly. You kind of get the picture there. Again, if you're a fan of Detroit, you want to see wins instead of losses there. And that's the end of that ball game here for this particular day. Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. You can check out Butch on Sports on Facebook, always on Facebook. You can also check out Butch on Sports on the homepage at Podomatic.com. You can just type on in there. Yes, type it on in. SimplyButchToo.podomatic.com. You can also, yes, go to thegamesportshow.podbean.com. for Butch on Sports, and many other of the smorgasbord of great shows on the Game Sports Show Network there. And don't forget tomorrow evening, boys and girls, the holiday has passed. We'll be back on the air again with Scott Nason, Dave McKay, and myself from 6 to 8 o'clock on 1400, or should I say News Talk, 1400 Sault Ste. Marie. And all in the areas of Lower Peninsula and whatnot there, you can go to News Talk 1400 Sault Ste. Marie. It'll take you to the page of the game. You look up in the upper right-hand corner, you say, listen live, and press that button, and voila, you get to hear the show. Hey, I'm out of time, boys and girls. Y'all enjoy the rest of the Sunday evening and the beginning of the week here. Stay happy and good, and stay safe.